We welcome each and every one of you to our Talk meeting this evening, and this is August the 13th, 2007. We're especially pleased to have each and every one of you, and we will mention now that we will be suspending the text area so that you cannot be writing any text while the speaker is speaking. But once the presentation is finished, then the text area will be turned on. That means that if you do not have a microphone, but you will have questions to ask of the speaker, then when the Q&A period is available and the text area is turned on, you will have an opportunity to type your question in the text chat area, and then our technician, Fred Bertelson, who's so gracious to read our text area, will be happy to read the questions so that our speaker can answer them. And now it is indeed a privilege for me to turn the microphone over to one of the members of our planning committee for our Tech Talk events, and that is Kelly Sapergia from Canada. And he will introduce the speaker for this evening. Kelly, the microphone is yours.
Thank you, Pat, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to this evening's session of Tech Talk. And it gives me great pleasure to introduce our speaker for the evening, Joseph Lee. He was born in South Korea and came to the United States in 2001 and has spent a lot of time at various tech workshops and has been doing research about computing from a blind person's perspective. He regularly listens to shows, technology shows such as ACB Radio's Main Menu, and reads magazines such as PC World, Access World from AFB and others, and frequently uses the internet for researching purposes. He has written a number of guides for Windows Vista and has contributed to various podcasts. And is a member of a number of mailing lists. He produced a number of Windows Vista guides that are designed for blind users who are familiar with the Windows environment, and obtains most of his information from the web and various mailing lists. So it gives me great pleasure to turn the mic over to Joseph Lee for this evening's session of Tech Talk. Take it away, Joseph.
Okay. Now you mention it, now you're hearing it. Okay. Good evening, the Tech Talk listeners and other people who are fortunate enough to join us and for listening either online or offline on their computers, devices, whatever. This gives me a pleasure to talk to you about one of the interesting topics that has been discussed on the blind mailing list, and that is Windows Vista, the newest Microsoft Windows operating system. Before we jump to the plane, I'd like to further introduce myself that this is the first time that I'm doing this. I'll try my best to explain as fully and rich as possible. I'll try my best to to be slower for those who are beginning computer users. And I'll promise that I'll try my best to explain in simple terms for those who are quite unfamiliar with what Windows is. So enough talk. Let's begin. So what exactly is Windows Vista and how did it came to be? Windows Vista, known as Windows Longhorn for its development, its internal name is Windows NT 6.0. It came out in January 30th, 2007, and it garnered a lot of attention from its inception in 2000 and mid-1990s. When it was announced, the Windows plan schedule after Windows 2000. the initial version of Windows that was supposed to follow Windows Whistler, now known as XP, was Windows Blackcomb, now known as Vienna. But due to security issues and scheduling issues, Windows Blackcomb was pushed several years, now is scheduled for release in somewhere around 2010. And Windows Longhorn, now Vista, stepped in. Whereas Windows Blackcomb is targeted for revolutionizing the user interface itself, Windows Longhorn is designed to allow users to be introduced to next generation technologies such as redesigned .NET framework and other technologies such as Windows Communication Foundation and other techie stuff. Throughout its development, Windows Longhorn was plagued with a number of issues such as security and so forth, and its code base was modified in 2004. Previously, before 2004, Windows Longhorn was supposed to be an introduction to new technologies such as newer user interface. Now, Windows Vista is now targeted as the security-based Windows operating system with inclusion of UAC, User Account Control, which I'm going to show you a bit later, and other security technologies such as Windows Defender, upgraded Windows Firewall, and so forth. These technologies, including Windows Firewall, is included with XP Service Pack 2. Windows Vista has been developed for the last 5 years, and it is now out since January 2007. Many screen reader companies that I talk with, that I interviewed, including Freedom Scientific and Jitter Micro, said that they have worked in close with Microsoft regarding accessibility of this operating system, particularly in areas of user interface such as Windows Arrow, which stands for Authentic, Energetic, Reflective, and Open, which has some flip 3D features and redesigned start menu, as well as security features such as UAC, User Account Control. The day Windows Vista was released, Jitter Micro introduced WindowEyes 6.1, I believe, Beta 1, or Beta 2, I don't know, I forgot, that is designed to work with Windows Vista. 30 days later, JAWS for Windows 8.0 build 1163 was released that supports Windows Vista. Although Freedom Scientific claims that it is Beta 1 for JAWS for 8.0 running under Vista. Then Jitter Micro introduced WindowEyes 6.1 Beta 2, and then Freedom Scientific released Beta 2 of JAWS for Windows. And as of June 2007, major screen readers, including System Access, supports Windows Vista. So that is the overview of the history of Windows Vista. If Windows Vista is released, how come there is confusion? Well, because Windows Vista adds new functionality, and more confusing is its versions. Windows Vista is technically released in 7 or 8 versions, depending on the country that you live in and setting other system requirements. There are 4 retail versions and 1 enterprise version available. The 4 retail versions are Home Basic, which is similar to Windows XP Home Edition, Home Premium, which is XP Media Center, complement to Windows XP Media Center, Business, which is targeted for Professional, which is somewhat similar to XP Professional, and Ultimate, which from technical point of view is XP Media Center, but from user point of view it is combination of Windows XP Media Center and XP Professional / Home Edition in one box. Home Basic is targeted for home users who have limited budget and who wants to feel the same ease of controlling Windows XP Home Edition computer. Home Premium is designed for consumers who want to take advantage of Media Center capabilities that was previously offered in XP Media Center. Business is targeted for professionals and organizations for business use, and Ultimate is targeted for PC enthusiasts and IT professionals who want to work with both of the worlds, entertainment and professional applications. So these are the versions that are available. So that's enough talk about Windows Vista. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to actually start the subject now. I am running Vista Ultimate, which is 8 window build 2173, which is the official version for Vista. And I'd like to emphasize by now that I don't know about Windows, but for JAWS users, JAWS standard licenses can be installed on Vista Home editions, which are Home Basic and Home Premium. And professional license can be installed on, sorry for the disturbance, but that was Windows Vista sounds. And the second sound that you heard was actually a Pac-Mate turning on, sound that was used for turning on the Pac-Mate, but I nicked it from one of the Pac-Mates. That was meant to be a Windows logon sound. I will talk about a bit later. So the professional can be installed on business and ultimate. Why did I left out enterprise? Well, enterprise is an upgraded version of business, but it is not available in retail.
The Windows is ready. Start button to open. Press enter. AVG control center. The red highlighted components are in the error state. Please pay urgent attention to their condition.
There we go. Okay. The enterprise is only available for enterprise customers, such as software assurance customers like large companies. The retail editions, Home Basic, Home Premium, Business, and Ultimate comes in a single DVD, whether it can be upgrade or clean install. Whatever you choose, you can actually clean install your Vista system using an upgrade DVD, which I've done several times. And the enterprise has its own DVD. Windows Vista Desktop. One of the new features that you'll find when you start Windows Vista, which I've started now, is desktop. Let us imagine a paper situated on a desk, but the paper has 11.5 inches by 11 inch braille paper. If we run our fingers down on the bottom of the page, let us imagine that it has dots 2, 3, 5, 6 on it. This represents taskbar. On the very left edge of the taskbar, you will imagine a circle with some kind of pearl inside it. This is the new Windows logo, and this is actually start button. In the Windows Vista, the word start is gone. It's replaced by this pearl logo. If you run your finger on the right side of the paper, there will be dots 2, 3, 5, 6, it's actually the whole cell of the braille is printed here. Well, this is imaginary, of course. This is what's called Windows Sidebar. Sidebar is a new area on the screen where you can place what's called desktop gadgets. A gadget is a small program that is designed to do, designed to notify you if there are certain events happening, such as usage of processors, are there any more headlines, clocks, and so forth. Microsoft ships with a few goodies, like feed headlines, slideshows, clock, and etc. You can download more gadgets. I want to show you the sidebar later, towards the end. So, I am currently focused on the desktop. If I press Windows M, you'll hear.
Desktop, folder view, list view, not selected user, 1 of 13. To move the items, use the arrow keys.
You heard user. This is different from XP. Now, in XP, the icons will be named My Documents, My Computer, My Network Places, etc. But I'm going to show you why the icon names have changed in a moment when I navigate Start menu. The My prefixes has been dropped in Windows Vista. So My Documents is now just the name of the user. In my case, it's User. My Computer is now just Computer. My Network Places is now Network. And Shared Documents is now called Public, which is used to do the same thing as Shared Documents, to store files that are shared by all users or the users on the network. So I'll press Tab and I'll move through each of the desktop features. A little bit familiar for those who are using Windows 95 or later.
Start button to open presenter.
Start menu. This is used to open the Start menu. I'll press Tab again.
Running applications taskbar to move through items. Press left or right arrow.
The JAWS window does not appear because I moved to the system tray. This is taskbar. Now, if you've been using XP, you would have heard something like toolbar, Internet Explorer button. That was the launch bar. Quick launch bar. I have disabled it for this demonstration.
Notification chevron button to activate. Press spacebar.
This is the usual system tray bar that is on the right side of the screen. I'd like to mention that system tray has quite changed. In XP and earlier, you would have seen volume when you go to select the system tray icon dialog. Now in Windows Vista, it does not show up. The system tray has been divided into two sections. The first is system notification section, which has usual notifications such as virus alerts, Bluetooth, and Skype, if you have Skype. And system notifications, which has power, network settings, clock, and audio volume.
Desktop, folder view, list view, not selected view.
And we're back at desktop. So that is the desktop element that you'll find in Windows Vista. Start menu. One of the changes that you'll notice when you start using Windows Vista is Start menu. Actually, this is a redesigned Start menu. The Start menu houses not what's called Start Search. Start Search, where you can type a name of the program, a name of a file, folder, or in some cases, you can open a website from there. You can search for it based on the string that you type to the edit box, and Windows will try its best to locate the best matches. And it will show you the relevant matches on a separate window that pops up on top of the edit box, which shows the search results. The new Start menu is essentially XP Start menu, where it has program names on the left and folder names on the right, plus the Start search box edit at the bottom. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to press Windows key to go to Start menu, and you'll notice this.
Menu, edit, start, search, edit, to move through items, press up or down arrow.
Start search edit box. This is the location where you can search for strings like name of the program, a phrase in the file, a name of the folder, etc. To briefly show you what it actually does, I'm going to search for a name of the program. If I type something like SNDV,
backup status and configuration, group.
And if I type OL,
OL programs group,
it prompted SNDVOL, which is the executable name for volume control. To move to the search results, you press down arrow.
See all results, 1 of 2.
You can press enter here to see the results.
Search the internet, 2 of 2.
If you want to search the internet, you can do that from here. And we're back at the top.
Bull. File description, volume control, applet company, Microsoft Corporation.
That's because I enabled tooltip. Now, that is the results of my search. If I press enter, I will be placed in the volume control with the following.
Leave in menus, volume mixer dialog, speakers, device main volume up down slider 0%.
And so forth. Thank you. So that is one way method of searching on the internet, on about anything, virtually everything from the program name to even a phrase in a file using start menu. In Vista start menu, it also has a tab order in case you were to come across it. The tab order goes from the following.
Menu, edit.
The search edit, the edit box.
User, 1 of 13.
The folder names, where it can open the folder name that is under users doc, user folder.
Leave in menus, start menu, to activate sleep.
Power settings, you can select from sleep. If you are installing Windows Update, you will say install updates and shutdown, or you can select from also select lock your computer, which essentially locks your computer on, after you press spacebar on the name of the user, it'll unlock it. Or if you press, if you type your password, it'll unlock it. I'll press tab again.
Internet 1 of 11.
The program names are displayed here on the left.
All programs submenu.
All programs submenu. This is sort of like all programs submenu on the XP start menu.
Start search, type of text.
And we're back. The reverse is true. If I press shift tab.
All programs submenu.
All programs submenu.
Windows Media Center 11 of 11.
The bottom of the programs list.
Lock this computer.
The lock this computer button.
Help and support 13 of 13.
Bottom of the folder list.
Start search.
And we're back at start search box. And I'd like to point out that as you type or delete a character or two, Windows will reflect this change by displaying alternative menu items. I'll press escape to get out of here.
Start button.
Power options. In XP, you would have pressed enter on turn off or shut down option to go to power dialog. You can select among hibernate, standby, shutdown, and so forth. In Windows Vista, it has changed. To go to power, you press Windows key for start menu.
Menu, edit, start, search, edit.
And you will press right arrow 3 times.
Menu, shut down. To move through items, press up or down arrow.
These are the options that we have here.
Switch user, W's, log off, L. Close programs and log off, log O. Lock, restart, R. Closes all open. Sleep, S, hibernate, shut down.
And so forth. Sounds familiar? This is essentially a rework of XP's shutdown options dialog. So that is the brief look at Windows Vista's start menu. Windows Explorer and its changes. Windows Explorer has changed in Windows Vista to some extent. For instance, Windows Explorer is no longer tied to Internet Explorer for security reasons. You remember that you could open a website from Windows Explorer. Now you cannot open a website from Windows Explorer. If you attempt to open a website from Explorer, it'll open Internet Explorer instead. So I'm going to press Windows E to go to Windows Explorer.
Computer, folder view, list view, not selected, local disk C, 1 of 2.
Well, in previous Windows, you would have gone to tree view. The tree view is still available. If I press shift tab.
Tree view, computer open.
Okay, it is still here. If I press tab again.
Folder view, list view.
It is now landed at the list view. The Windows Explorer is same as XP and other versions of Windows, except if I press tab, in previous version of Windows, you would have gone between tree view and list view. Now, in Vista, it will go through the menu bar, not the menu bar, it will go through toolbars and so forth. If I press tab,
name header bar 1 to 4, select column title to sort by that category.
This is the sort sort area. We can sort by name.
Name text, type header bar 2 of 4. Select column title to sort by
type.
Category. Total size header bar 3 of 4. Select column.
Total size of the file or folder in question or the drive in question if you're in computer list.
Free space header bar 4 of 4.
Free space and so forth.
Total type name header bar.
But if you're in the folder list or file list, you will go. You see date as one of the options. If you press down arrow, you will go to the menu that allows you to change the sort order. You can sort by alphabetically. You can sort reverse alphabetically, where it'll start from Z and all the way to A, and so forth.
Toolbar desktop split button to activate. Press the space.
I press tab, and we're now at what's called breadcrumb. Breadcrumb is a way of navigating websites or other window. If you click on a name of this file, name of the location that you want to go through, if you press enter, it will go straight to the location. So if I press enter in desktop, it will go automatically to desktop. If you move to the right, using right arrow, at this bar,
toolbar computer split button to activate, press the space bar, find more button.
We're at computer section.
Toolbar desktop split button.
And it comes back to desktop, which is useful for moving quickly from one location to another.
Search edit type of text, control plus down arrow for context menu.
This is control E, I believe, if I'm correct. This search bar is located at the top right corner of the screen. This is a duplication of start menu search, start search, where you can search for everything from files to folders, even deep within a Windows folder, a C drive or D drive, whatever system drive it is.
Explorer pane.
Explorer pane.
View split button, organize button.
Has organized pane. It has organized button.
View split button.
Views.
System properties button.
These are the favorites links and utilities, as I call it.
Uninstaller change a program button. Map network drive button. Open control panel button. Help button. Organize button.
And so forth. We can go to favorites, like organize, uninstall programs, and so forth.
Documents to activate. Press the space bar. Find more buttons.
Again, these are favorite links to commonly used folders such as documents, pictures, music, and so forth. I'm keep pressing tab here.
Explorer pane. F-O-L-D-E. Documents to explore folders.
Okay, these are explorer pane again. Yet another pane that is available here. A folders, name, pane, and so forth.
Tree view, computer.
And we're back at a tree view and
folder view, list view.
Here it is. We're back at the computer list. So that is the layout.
I believe we've lost Sophie. I'll just wait a bit here and we'll see if Joseph can get back in the room.
Okay, my apologies for that. For some odd reason, it somehow went something wrong. Now, there we go. Now it's working. So as I last said, there was the layout of Windows Explorer. I'd like to mention that before we leave Explorer, there are some folder changes. We will not go into the detail of each folder, but I'd like to mention a few. If you remember from XP, the headquarters for all the users file has been My Documents. Now it is the name of the user. The My Music, My Pictures, My Video, and so forth, so forth folders that were under My Documents is now under the Users folder. The My Documents folder itself, now named Documents, is in users folder. To demonstrate this, I'm going to press backspace.
Folder view list view user. Folder view list view.
User, and this used to be the folder where it would store app data and so forth. Now it has all the data for the user, including music files, video files, and documents, and so forth. Thankfully, it has a downloads folder where you can store downloads without having to download them directly to the root of the user folder.
Bible, content, desktop, document, downloads, favorites.
Favorites is where you can store favorites that is used for accessing favorite sites under IE.
Links. Music.
My music
pictures,
folder.
Pictures.
My picture.
Save games.
Searches, you can use your searches.
Videos,
and so forth. So these were the documents that were present under my documents. You heard briefly documents, and that used to be my documents. So that is the new layout of the users folder. So we're done with Windows Explorer. That's the basic features of it. So I'll press Alt F4 to leave. And my apologies for that breaking up connection. Control panel in Windows Vista. There are so many ways of configuring your computer using Windows Control Panel. Control Panel has changed under Windows Vista. Some items have been introduced, such as offline files, iSCSI initiator. I haven't used it much, but it is useful anyway, from what I've heard. And a new way of removing programs, which I'm going to briefly show you the list, but I'm not going to try and uninstall programs this time. You've heard it on my podcast. If you have, then fine. If you didn't, I'm going to give you the contact details at the end. To go to control panel, you go to start menu. Why is it that Vista has decided that it is not working? Happens sometimes.
Default settings, shell32.dll, shell32, dll, desktop, folder view, list view.
Oh, there we go. Just to let you know that control panel
default settings, explorer.net,
can be accessed with
explorer.exe
with Windows key, and then you can type control or
start
control panel
open presenter,
and it'll open it that way.
Menu, edit, start, search, edit, to move through items, press up or down arrow.
Now responding, was there a power outage or something like that? I don't know. The control panel, I'm going to access it right now.
AVG, control, leaving menus. Control panel, folder view, list view, not selected, add hardware, 1 of 51.
By default, there are 49 items, from what I've heard, under Ultimate. I'll try my best to point out some items briefly. I have demonstrated this on my third podcast under Control Panel topic, but I'm going to briefly describe them again for new users.
Add hardware.
You can add hardware here.
Administrative tools.
This is linked to Microsoft Management Console. You can do everything from assigning a drive letter to even doing disk management and user management.
Autoplay.
You can change the behavior of the autoplay window, which is activated when new devices are inserted.
Backup and restore center.
You can back up your computer, or if you have business, enterprise, or ultimate, you can use a Windows Complete PC Backup to back up your computer, the entire hard disk onto another hard disk or a DVD.
BitLocker drive encryption.
Not that useful, but
color management.
You can go here and change the color management, useful for low vision users.
Date and time.
Date and time, you can change the date and time.
Default programs.
Default programs, this is rebranding of set programs and access defaults.
Device manager.
Device manager, this, in previous Windows, it was only available under system properties. Now it is here, under control panel. You can change the properties of devices, such as audio devices, USB controllers, and so forth.
Ease of access center.
This is rebranding of utility manager and accessibility options.
Folder options.
Folder options, as you can gather, you can change folder view settings.
Fonts.
Fonts, not that useful, but you can pop in here to change the fonts.
Game controllers.
Game controllers, you can change the game controllers that install, such as joystick, pretty useful for gamers.
Indexing option.
Not that useful, but to set the indexing functions for searching.
Intel RGMA. Internet options.
Internet options, this is also available under IE.
iSCSI initiator.
Not that useful, this is used to connect to your iSCSI devices.
Keyboard.
Keyboard, you can change the properties of keyboard.
Mail.
Mail, if you have Outlook installed, that you can change the mail accounts.
Mouse.
Mouse, not that useful, but you can change the properties of mouse.
Network and sharing center.
Network and sharing center, this is network setup wizard / network connections combined. You can set up a network, you can connect to a wireless network, and so forth.
Offline files.
Offline files. If you have files that are stored elsewhere, and if you want to work with it while you're disconnected from the source computer, you can enable this, and you can access files even though if the computer is turned off, even though the source computer is disconnected.
Parental controls.
Parental controls. I'm going to describe that a bit later when I describe security features.
Input devices.
Just let you know that parental controls allows a user to control what type of program is permitted to run under certain users, and what program is blocked, and what websites are blocked.
People
near me uses peer-to-peer to find out are there any people that are connected to Windows Live, Windows Meeting Space, and so forth.
Performance information and tools.
Pretty useful for finding out your computer speed and so forth.
Personalization.
Personalization, where you can personalize everything from Windows theme to sounds.
Phone and modem options.
Same thing as XP.
Power options.
Power options, you can configure power options from here.
Printers.
And so forth. Well, I didn't just go through each of them because of the limited time that we have. But other options which might be useful are
problem reports and solutions.
Problem reports and solutions.
Programs and features.
Which allows you to send a problem and receive solutions to it. Programs and features, which is a rebranding of add or remove programs. This is actually a simplified version of it. If I pop in here,
not selected Adobe Reader 8.
Instead of having to move down through the list, you can actually press the first letter of the program that you want to use, remove, and then you can remove it from here. You have to actually press application key and then choose uninstall or change.
Folder view list new programs and features, regional scanners and security sound, speech sound.
Sound is pretty useful for configuring your sound device.
Speech recognition options.
I know that some people have already tried that. Speech recognition allows you to dictate commands to your computer using microphone.
Sync Center.
Sync Center, pretty useful for syncing devices such as Bronote, PacMate, and BroSense onto this Vista machine.
System.
System, just like XP, it allows you to see the system settings.
Tablet PC, taskbar, and start menu.
So as it says, it allows to set up the taskbar start menu.
Text-to-speech, user accounts, welcome center.
Welcome center is the place where you can learn more about Vista. This will present itself when you finish installing Windows Vista.
Windows card space, Windows Defender.
Windows Defender is a spyware, anti-spyware program from Microsoft.
Windows Firewall, Windows Mobility Center, Windows Sidebar, Windows Sideshow, Windows Update.
And so forth. I exited control panel for some couple reasons. First of all, I'd like to show you the security features now that I have mentioned that I'm going to show you, including user account control, UAC, and how it works, and security center that is included with Vista. User account control, UAC. User account control is a way of securing your Vista machine from unauthorized access. The UAC, known as user account control or user access control by some users, keeps a tab of what you are doing and shows a consent dialog known as consent .exe to allow you to either continue with the process that you're doing or deny the process. For example, if I start this cleanup, if I want to remove files from all users, it'll pop up UAC dialog asking me if I want to continue or not. If I deny it, then this cleanup will be halted. If I allow it, then it'll continue. There are two types of dialogs that'll appear. If the program is deemed untrustworthy, it will show up a different dialog with some different text in it. Although it is the same consent dialog, it has different text to it, meaning it says like, this program is, it cannot trust the vendor of the program, and is asking if I want to allow to run or cancel it. The second dialog that appears for familiar programs like this cleanup and this defragmenter, asking if you want to continue or not. To briefly show you what user account control does, I'm going to run a program that likely has UAC on it.
Menu, edit, start, search, edit.
Like cleanup.
Disk cleanup programs group. Leaving menus, disk cleanup options dialog. Files from all users on this computer button to activate, press space bar, Alt plus F.
I'll press space and you hear this sound.
User account control. User account control dialog. Windows needs your permission to continue if you started this action. Continue. Disk space cleanup manager for Windows. Microsoft Windows user account control. Help stop unauthorized changes to your computer. Cancel button to activate. Press space bar.
That is the UAC dialog that you'll see in Vista. In this case, it told me that this cleanup is trying to do something, and it prompts continue or cancel. Meaning that if I press Alt C to continue, then it'll continue its process. If I press Enter and cancel, which is default button, I will be able to deny it. So I'll press Alt C and see what happens.
Disk cleanup options dialog. Windows sidebar. New available gadgets button. Disk cleanup dialog. Windows sidebar.
And so forth. So that is the brief overview of UAC. If you want a familiar XP style where you have total control, you can also turn it off. You have to go to Control Panel, User Accounts, and go to Turn User Account Control On and Off. And you have to press space to uncheck it. Because it is a system service, it requires a restart. Another feature that is useful is Security Center that is built into Vista. For XP Service Pack 2 users, Security Center is one place stop to monitor your security status.
Menu, edit, start. Local Security Policy Programs Group. Security Center, leaving menus. Windows Security Center, firewall button to activate, press spacebar.
I want to press Control Insert W to virtualize the window.
Virtualizing window. Windows Security Center. Windows Update Security Essentials. To help protect your computer, make sure the four security essentials below are marked under OK.Windows Firewall using Windows Security Center. Windows Defender. Internet Options Firewall on. Get the latest security and automatic updating on written for Microsoft Malware Protection on Change the Way Security. Center alerts me. Other security settings OK. See also. Backup and restore. Backup and restore.
And so forth.
Firewall button.
So that is the overview of the window layout. as it appears.
How does a firewall help protect my computer? Link.
Firewall is linked to Windows Firewall.
Automatic updating button to act. How does automatic updating help with malware protection button to activate? Press spacebar.
Malware protection is linked to antivirus and anti-spyware.
How does anti-malware software help protect my computer? Link. Other security settings button. How do internet security settings help protect my computer? Link. How does user account control help protect my computer? Link. Windows update link. Help button to active.
The Windows update is still here, although it has changed. It runs on the control panel instead of running as a web page. So that is the brief overview of UAC and Security Center under Windows Vista. Windows sidebar. Windows sidebar is a new bar on the right side of the screen where you can place what's called desktop gadget. As I explained earlier, desktop gadget is a little program that is designed to notify you if there's certain events occur, such as clock, new feed headlines, slideshow, and so forth. There's even a utility that allows you to see the weather alert. To open Windows sidebar, you press Windows G for gadgets.
Windows sidebar.
You would actually press Windows space to launch the sidebar to focus, and to move to gadgets, you press Windows G. G standing for gadgets.
Clock.
I have clock.
Multimeter D.
Multimeter D.
Clock.
I have two gadgets open, which are clock and multimeter D. Reverse is true. If you want to move backwards to gadgets, you press Windows Shift G.
Multimeter D. Clock. Multimeter D. Clock.
And so forth.
Multimeter D.
If I want to see the gadget or read the gadget window, you press Tab to go to the gadget window. I'm focused at the multimeter D, which is a little utility which measures CPU usage for dual core processors, which has two processor cores in one unit. And it is pretty useful for examining how many megabytes of RAM is used by system.
Multimeter D, no links. Multimeter D, 1x86/510MB/1013MB, core 19%, core 20%, RAM 50%.
And so forth. Under some gadgets, you can configure it. There might be configure settings options button or configure button or settings button under some gadgets. To access gadgets properties, you press application key to go to a context menu.
Context menu to navigate, press up or down arrow, add gadgets, hey.
I'm going to show you this a bit later, which allows you to add more gadgets.
Detach from sidebar, D.
If you want to place your gadget somewhere else, you can detach it from sidebar.
Move M.
You can move this gadget to somewhere else.
Opacity submenu, I.
I don't know what it is.
Options, O.
Options.
Close gadget, C.
If you want to close gadget, you can close it right here.
Add gadgets, A.
What I want to show you is adding a gadget.
Leaving menus, Windows sidebar, calendar button to activate, press spacebar, calendar button to activate, press spacebar.
There are 11 gadgets that are shipped with Windows Vista, which are calendar, clock.
Clock button. Contacts button.
Contacts.
CPU meter button to activate. Currency button. Feed headlines button. Multimeter deep. Notes button. Picture puzzle button. Slideshow button. Stocks button. Weather button.
Except for multimeter D, these are Microsoft's default gadgets. So if I want to find out about current weather, I'll press space on weather gadget and it'll open it.
Windows sidebar. Weather. Weather, clear graphic, no links, weather, 73 degrees Redmond, blah, graphic clear,
and so forth. By default, it shows Redmond, Washington's weather, because that's where this product comes from. I'm going to briefly try my best to change the option to reflect on Los Angeles.
Context, close gap, options, O. Leaving menus, clear graphic. Land, graphic clear, land, weather, 7th Redmond, graphic, land, window sidebar, weather, graphic 828, Current Loach Redmond flaw. Edit search for location on mouse over. Form Mohan.
Okay, we're in the options window.
Space. Edit on mouse over. Link to mouse up search button. Show temperature in. Radio.
I don't know why, for some odd reason, this option is not accessible at all.
Add gadget dialog.
Well,
menu bar.
That'll do it.
Leaving me.
I'm going to open one more gadget.
Layout object. Get more gadget button to active. Letter button. Stocks button to activate. Slideshow.
I'm going to open feed headlines to see if there's any RSS feeds available.
Picture plus notes button. Multi feed head currency button. Feed headlines button
there
to activate. Press link feed headlines. Link five links. Feed viewer. This page link view headlines. Link this page link view headlines. Link feed viewer.
And so forth. Feed viewer is useful for receiving latest RSS feeds. I'm going to close this gadget to show you how to close it.
Context menu, close gadget, see.
And if you close it,
leaving menus, window sidebar, view available gadgets button, menu bar, sys, leaving menus, feed headlines button,
and so forth. I'm going to exit the add gadget dialog as well.
Window sidebar, view of it.
I'll press Windows G to see how many gadgets are open.
Letter, multimeter B, clock, letter.
I'm going to close this as well, because we technically
land. Window sidebar, letter. Window site, context, close gadgets, leaving menus, view available gadgets button to active, desktop.
And we're off. One of the downsides of it is that Windows G command will only work if the sidebar is already on focus. But you can get to it directly by pressing insert F10 or similar command in other screen readers to list all open windows.
Window list.appbar bullet restored, 1 of 6. Clock restored, desktop, multimeter D restored, start restored, window sidebar restored, window sidebar, desktop.
And so forth. So that's a cool way of opening gadgets and working with them. Conclusion? Windows Vista has many new features, including sidebar, new Windows Explorer, new ways to configure your computer, and a powerful start menu. As I demonstrated, there are some sluggishness. There were some items that were not accessible at this point. But from what I have been experimenting with it, and from experiences of other users who use Windows Vista, I like to praise its operating system for its more accessibility, more security, and more powerful features and more useful features that are available. But I would like to say that sometimes when it comes to praise, there's criticism. That the one thing that I would like to point out on the Vista is that it requires vast hardware resources. As you've heard, there was some sluggishness when I attempted to open Windows start menu, but it can be easily remedied. Conquering Windows Vista from your keyboard. As I've said earlier, despite the fact that it is a new operating system, despite the fact that it is very visual, you can in fact conquer Windows Vista just by using your keyboard, as I've demonstrated, and as some others demonstrated through their tutorials and their guides. Contact information, you can contact me in various ways. You can contact me by email at joseph.lee@blindsca.com. That is my private email address. Or you can contact me via joseph, J-O-S-E-P-H, _Lee, joseph22590@yahoo.com or joseph.lee22590@gmail.com. My Skype ID is joselee22590. There are vast amount of resources on the internet about Windows Vista. I'd like to mention several sites here. I'd like to mention Paul Stewart's Super Site for Windows, which covers everything from installing Vista to using features like UAC and so forth, and some new tips. You can definitely search Wikipedia, en.wikipedia.org, search for Windows Vista, and it will come up with a number of results, and an excellent article about Windows Vista and its features and criticism. If you search Google or Yahoo about Windows Vista, there will be hundreds and thousands of pages about Windows Vista, from feature descriptions to even praise and criticism about it. And there are some tutorials done by me and by Rick Carman and others about Windows Vista. My A Guide to Windows Vista tutorial, 7 parts and an addendum, can be found at www.blind-geek-zone.net, then press enter on audio, then go to the heading Vista and you'll find it, all 7 parts plus an addendum. In that same page you'll find some tutorials done by Rick Harmon and some main media presentations that was aired in May 2007. Also, if you go to Blind Cool Tech website, www.blindcooltech.com, you'll find some tutorials about Windows Vista. Well, the tutorial set is incomplete. It lists first 5 podcasts. It lists everything from installation instructions to security. If you want a full set, you can get it from Blind Geek Zone website, which covers everything from installation, security, and to entertainment and so forth. There are some features that I didn't cover today, but they are covered in tutorials, including how to burn a DVD, how to use Windows Media Center, and so forth. So there are a lot of vast resources out there on the internet. I would recommend that you search on the internet for more information about Windows Vista. Now, of course, you can check out Microsoft's website about Windows Vista. To learn more about JAWS and Windows Vista, you can go to Freedom Scientific website and search from there. For more info about WindowEyes and Windows Vista, you can search on GW Micro's webpage. I'd like to thank you for Tech Accessible World for hosting this presentation and for Talking Communities to allow me to present this valuable information to you. I hope that this information may help you in a continued quest in conquering Windows Vista with your keyboard. Thank you.
Well, Joseph, we do indeed thank you so very much. What an outstanding overview of the basics of Windows Vista. And ladies and gentlemen, when you realize that our speaker is just a 17-year-old high school student ready to go into college next year, I think it even speaks greater for what the youth of our nation is doing in a very constructive way. And we certainly appreciate all that we've learned, and he has given us lots to think about. We're now going to unsuspend the text area. If you do not have a microphone, you are encouraged to type any questions that you have in the text area by pressing an F8, typing the message, and pressing enter. And then Fred Bertelsen, our associate this evening, will be reading that information, will be reading the questions in the text area. If you have a microphone, of course, you are encouraged to use it to ask your questions directly. And as is our usual, we ask that you please only ask one question at a time and not multi-part questions so that our Joseph can answer them in a reasonable manner and not have to retain a whole lot of questions at one setting. So, and we're going to ask you to allow everyone in the room who wants to ask a question to do that. So, and when the question has been asked, then we ask the rest of you to hold back on the microphones so that Joseph can answer the question. All right, we're ready to go. Who would like to ask the first question?
Hello, this is Gary Wood. It sounds like an interesting program, and new one. I caught it. It sounded like at first that Windows Vistas would be quite a complicated thing to learn, but I think you make it sound fairly easy to learn it, I think.
Good evening, Joseph. My name is Rob. I'm from Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. I noticed when you didn't say what you pressed when you left or closed Windows. My question, I know some people use Escape to close a window. I use Alt F4 to close a window sometimes. With Windows Vista, can you use Alt F4?
Yes, just like previous Windows, you can press Alt F4. There are some dialogs and programs that allow you to press Escape to close it, including volume control, some control panel items. Well, for control panel items, you have to actually exit by pressing backspace if it presents a web page. So yes, you can press Alt F4, just like any version of Windows, to close a dialog.
Yeah, Joseph, my name is Pete Romero. Someone told me that when you hit the Alt key, whereas before you'd see File, Edit, View, Tools, that no longer exists, that there's now something called a ribbon. Is that true? And if so, can you explain how that works?
The ribbon is a series of tabs. It is some kind of a series of tabs that is only available for Office 2007 and above. This is only available for Word 2007, Excel 2007, and the message editing window under Outlook. And this replaces the menu bar. It has a Home tab, Office button, which is similar to File menu, and so forth. With all the programs that I've shown you today, they still retain menu bars. So the ribbon only exists under Office 2007.
Yeah, it's Kelly Sapergia here. I just wanted to say that was a really good presentation there. I did have to leave in a little bit, so I didn't get to hear all of it. But I was just wondering, is it possible to still use, let's say, keys like Windows key and an E to get into Windows Explorer or whatever they have in Windows Vista now, or has that been removed? That's my question there.
No, I should have mentioned it while I'm describing. Yes, the usual Windows commands are there. I'd like to give you some new keystrokes and old ones. Windows E is still used for accessing a Windows Explorer. Windows R is run, Windows F is search, Windows F3 is still search. The new commands are Windows G for scrolling through gadgets under Windows sidebar. And the command that I didn't mention, Windows X, is used to open Windows Mobility Center, which is some kind of a control panel applet where you can pop in and monitor things like power, audio, and network settings and so forth. Of course, you can also press Windows Space to bring sidebar to focus. I apologize for not giving you the keystroke as I was doing it.
Any other questions?
Yeah, I have one. This is Brandon Mitch. I'm on the PacMate and Brownlow list, and I'm wondering about mobile devices in Windows Vista. How does that go? Because I know ActiveSync is hardly found in Vista and all that.
Good. Now you mentioned it. I promised on both lists I'll mention both devices. I tested with my Brownlow M-Power, and it does work. I don't know whether I heard from someone at PacMate list that Windows Mobile Device Center does work with Windows Vista with some difficulty. I know there were some threats about Windows Mobile Device Center on both lists. I know that a HumanWare developer has been using Windows Mobile Device Center with his Bronaut, and he gave me positive reports of that. So I think it works. I believe from what I've heard, it works as far as the main active sync goes. But for syncing with Outlook, I have to look into details on that. I have to look at the details on Sync Center and so forth. But if you're browsing the file list on the device, yes, it does work. Just like when you are using file transfer option in ActiveSync. I heard a rumor that there is a ActiveSync version for Vista, but it's not confirmed yet.
How about that Sync Center? Does that that Sync Center in the control panel that you mentioned? This is Margot Downey, by the way. Would that be useful to sync with Outlook and all those things? And does that mean that ActiveSync is already installed within that center?
No, ActiveSync is not installed, although it has some features similar to ActiveSync. Sync Center is the base unit. Sync Center is just the main window of ActiveSync, which monitors syncing. When you connect a device like PacMate or BrowNote for the first time, it'll give you autoplay option, and then it'll open Windows Mobile Device Center, which resembles the options dialog under ActiveSync window. So you can say that ActiveSync is pretty much installed in basic mode on the Sync Center.
Joseph Westmoreland would like to know, have you gone through the upgrade procedure, and how successful was it going from XP Pro to Vista Ultimate?
Yeah, this is Lisa Hall. My question is, can you do ActiveSync wirelessly with Windows Vista?
Let's wait just a minute, Lisa, and let's answer the other question first. Joseph, if you will, please. Updating from XP to Vista Ultimate.
Oh, I'm going to answer Lisa's question a bit later. Yes, I've done that several times before. I have even installed Vista cleanly from scratch before while formatting the drive. Yes, the XP upgrading from XP to Vista Ultimate is painless, as I can say, from what I've heard. Vista, unlike XP, is based on image installation. So after you enter a product key and after Windows restarts, it'll expand the image that is inside the DVD itself. Instead of copying individual files from the CD when XP was installed, in Windows Vista, the whole image will be copied and expanded on the fly on the targeted hard drive. So for a few minutes, it'll expand the image, and after a few moments, when the computer restarts and when your hard drive stops working, you can press Windows U for utility / ease of access, and you can press space at the here the text read aloud, and then press space and apply to start narrator, which is pretty useful for setting up Windows with speech alone. So upgrading or clean installing from XP Pro to Windows Ultimate, I would say, is easy.
All right, now Lisa, would you like to restate your question, please?
Yes, is it possible to, with the PacMate, use ActiveSync wirelessly?
I haven't looked into that. I have to ask David Angerverson or someone who uses Vista, like Jeffrey Shockley, I have to ask him about it, because I don't use wireless ActiveSync. I use USB. I tried to use Bluetooth though, but with limited success. For as far as ActiveSync goes, I mainly use USB. I have to ask someone like Jeffrey Shockley or David Angerverson on the PacMate list about Wi-Fi and Windows Mobile Device Center.
Next question, please. Well, I have one while others are thinking. You did indicate that there are your other tutorials, if you will, or overviews, zeroing in on separate features of the Vista operating system. Is there one place where we can find those? I know that on Blind Cool Tech, several of them are there, but they are scattered. They aren't all in one place, and it would be a little easier if we could go to just one website and maybe download them all, and I'm sort of the opinion that you might be able to tell us where we can do that.
Yes, I did mention that while I was giving you contact info. If you go to Rick Harmon's Blind Geekstone website, which can be found at www.blind-geek-zone.net, you'll find all 8 podcasts that I've done at the Blind Geek Zone webpage, press go to audio link, then find the heading called Vista. That's where you'll find all my tutorials, 7 tutorials and an addendum. On the same heading as well, you'll find some tutorials done by Rick Harmon called Windows Vista First Looks and some main menu segments that was aired on the main menu in May 2007.
And if someone would, if it isn't already, type that into our text area so that it will be part of our archives, we'll appreciate that. So we make sure that we can find it that way.
This is Gary Wood again from Lansing, Michigan. Have you tried the Windows Media Center and how does that work for you?
Well, Windows Media Center is brilliant for what I can say. It is very accessible, just like XP's Media Center. The surprise that I found is that it uses sounds to let you know what you're doing. For example, if I press up down arrow, it'll give me sounds like beep, 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 letting me know that I'm pressing up and down arrow to move from one place to another. And I've done a Windows Vista Media Center demonstration in the part 6 of my tutorial at Blind Geek Zone website.
Joseph, this is Ken Trebling from Rochester, Minnesota. Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. You did a very, very wonderful job. On behalf of Tech Talk, I'm on the board of the steering committee here. Thank you. You very, very impressive. Pat mentioned earlier about some of those links that you had talked about. If it's possible that we can get those up on the board someplace, that would really, really be appreciated. And thank you again for a wonderful presentation. Really appreciate it.
Sure. I'm going. If I have time before I leave, I'll paste the URL in the text chat window so you can view the URL and go there.
And Fred, do we have any questions in the text area that you would like to read for us?
Let's see. I've got one more just added. From J.R. Westmoreland again. I understand that wireless will not work for security reasons. Is that correct?
I don't have any information about that, but there is a rumor, and I did saw on one of the websites that I Googled about that Wi-Fi is pretty useful for security if you put WPA PSK. Personal set key, as I call it. I don't know what it's called in real world, but Vista has some new network drivers, including secured wireless, such as support for WPA, PSK, and so forth. So I would say Wi-Fi is pretty useful for security, but do not be fooled that I would like to say that even though you enable wireless, it'll be pretty vulnerable unless you set up a security key to secure it from a hacker who will unwillingly compromise a Vista machine.
Okay, this is Brandon Mitch again with a couple of narrator questions. One, I know that narrator has a new voice under Vista. Could you get this to work with XP? I mean, is there an XP download? And two, this could be for anybody that has dual-booted their system from XP to Vista. Does the new voice work in the XP side of things, or is it just Vista-related?
Why not? I'm going to show you a bit of it. Yes, the narrator in Vista has new sound called Microsoft Anna. The voice engine that is used in Vista is completely different from XP, so no, you cannot use Microsoft Anna on the XP. So to show you what voice sounds like,
Ecom Access Center. Change
admin. I'm going to run narrator, and you'll hear this. A bit
start narrator button.
A bit mixture of
initializing narrator.
That's the sound that you hear if you
Microsoft
run narrator.
Narrator. Quick help button to activate. Press spacebar. Alt plus Q. Voice settings
key.
Button to activate. Press
voice,
space. Exit
button. Control.
Echo user's keystrokes checkbox checked. So clear checkmark. Press spacebar. Alt plus K.
Check. Main narrator settings group.
So that is the taste of what narrator sounds like.
And was there a second part to that question?
The second part, the answer is no. You cannot run sappy voice that is shifted to Vista under XP. XP's sappy uses sappy 5.1, whereas Vista's sappy uses sappy 5.3 engine.
Well, Anna does sound a lot better than Microsoft Sam.
Yes, thanks for the compliment. Yes, it is, from what I've heard, it's better and more natural sounding than Microsoft Sam.
Joseph, Ken Troubler and Claudia here again. My understanding is that, in fact, I was demoed at Seesung not this past year, but the year before. I was demoed Vista with text-to-speech. Can you give us any enlightenment on that?
Text-to-speech, I haven't followed that thread yet, but I'll try my best to investigate that. The text-to-speech, are you referring to speech recognition?
Yes, I'm sorry. I apologize. After I said that, that's pretty much what I meant to say. The representative of Microsoft that did put on the demonstration that afternoon actually brought in a fresh system, and he trained it right in front of us and did it in less than 10 minutes and was able to write Word documents and navigate and very similar to what Dragon, naturally speaking, might be able to do.
Sure. Oh, thanks for clarification. Yes, speech recognition, from what I've heard, is pretty accessible and pretty useful. I know there's a tutorial about speech recognition with System Access. I know that someone tried to produce a tutorial about speech recognition with JAWS for Windows. I know that WindowWise does work with it, and I know for the fact that JAWS works with it for some extent. But you need to use JAWS cursor to read the test screen when training the computer to understand you.
Do we have any other questions?
Yeah, I'm wondering, are there any problems using other software like Winamp or Windows Media Player or Total Recorder when using Windows Vista?
As far as I know, from what my test shows, Winamp does work. I'm using Winamp 5.35 right now, so Winamp is compatible with Windows system. Whether a program is compatible with Windows Vista, it'll be up to the programmers themselves to label it as such. If it is compatible with Windows Vista, then it can be used. If it is not, then it'll be a good time to wait for it. Or you can download XP version of it. There is a setting under properties to run the program, the installer, using compatibility mode. If you select XP Service Pack 2, it'll install as though you're installing on the XP Service Pack 2. The only thing that I would like to warn is that if you enable UAC, then the first time you install this or any subsequent times to install this software in question, such as Winamp, Total Recorder, and so forth, it will ask you if you want to continue or not. Windows Media Player is pretty easy. It is actually already shipped with Windows Vista. It is a bit different from Windows Media Player 10 that is shipped with XP. Media Player 11, from what I've heard, is pretty accessible, just like Media Player 10.
Scott Erickson has commented that TNT Consultancy are developing a product called JVist that will work with Vista speech recognition. And also, Chad has made a couple of comments about the new Anna voice. He says she sounds happy.
Well, one of the things I've heard with the buzz on Vista when it came out that, the system access people were ahead of everyone else in using Vista. And I guess WindowWise was a bit ahead of JAWS, but, I mean, JAWS does use Windows Vista, but I think it was behind the rest of the screen reach.
Yes, thanks for the comments. For TLT Consultancy, you might want to contact Brian Hartgen or Terry Clasper for more information about that. System Access to Go, you might want to contact someone like Matt Calvo or Rick Harmon, since Rick uses it. In regard to JAWS for Windows, I don't have any comment. Well, I did test WindowWise with it as public beta mode back in February of this year, when I first acquired Vista. so I have no comment about screen readers and their entry into Vista Arena.
Our speaker last week was from GW Micro, and he indicated, of course, they're using the Vista machines, obviously, on the job. And he indicated that they're approaching the sound card was different in Vista. I don't know, Joseph, if you have had the opportunity to check the changing or going into the sound card system of Vista, and if so, would you like to comment on that as to how it might differ from XP?
Sure. That's the one more thing that I failed to mention. My apologies. That sound, it is not the sound card that has changed. It is the sound driver system that has been changed. The first thing that you'll notice if you run when you're running volume control is that it no longer changes the hardware sound. The volume control, what it really does is now changes the volume for each individual software. So for example, if you have Eloquence talking in the background and if you have a Winamp, you can change, in previous version, you could only have changed the volume of the wave device or the volume device or the sound card itself. Now, you can change the volume of Eloquence and Winamp independently from each other. But you have to go to sound under control panel to really exploit the possibility of changing the level for each sound device, such as wave, PCB, microphone, or line-in. That's the issue that many people have reported, and you need the Vista-compatible sound card driver in order to take advantage of Vista's sound capabilities.
J.R. Westmoreland has commented a little more. First, let me get to Scott Erickson's comment first. There is an audio demo on JVist on www.tandt-consultancy.com for the JVist link. And then J.R. Westmoreland has asked, have you used iTunes with Vista, and how well does it work?
Oh, yeah. Scott, thanks for the URL. I haven't used iTunes at all with Windows Vista. From what I've heard, it is not accessible from what I've heard from other users. Although we'll see what Apple does in regard to accessibility of iTunes on the Windows Vista. So in regard to iTunes, I don't know because I haven't used it. My apologies for the information.
Well, Joseph, you don't have to apologize for anything here. I'm telling you, you certainly have answered questions that are far beyond the scope of most of us, and many of our presenters have not been able to field the questions to the extent that you have. So we really appreciate all of this, and we think we don't want to tire you out, but we don't want to miss anyone either. If they have any other questions, we'll take a few more questions if there are any for Joseph.
My name's Matthew Dyer. I did have a question regarding email. I have played around with several email clients. I know Windows Mail I've played with, but it's been nothing but a mess. But I have two POP3 accounts and one MSN account that I use, and would like to be able to use one account to check them, or one email client to check them all. So my question is there an accessible email client that I can find online that will allow me to use all of my accounts in one email client? I have messed with Windows Live Mail Desktop. However, there's a lot of graphical names that I'm hearing that aren't labeled, such as, say graphic and then the message. And then with JAWS, it'll say the name of the folder I'm at, but WindowWise will not. We'll just keep saying 111 or 2. It'll say the level, but it won't read the folder. So if you can answer that question, that would be greatly appreciated on my behalf.
Well, in terms of Windows Live, are you referring to the web-based interface? If it is a web-based interface, I have no information regarding this. If you have a two POP3 email account, you can still configure them under Windows Mail and set up different folders for it. My best bet is to use Microsoft Outlook, at least version 2, at least Outlook 2003. So that's my only comment from what I've heard.
Well, Matthew's comments prompted me to think about this one. You mentioned suggest using Outlook. How accessible is Outlook Express going to be accessible with Vista or usable as it is with XP and 98?
Outlook Express is renamed Windows Mail in Vista. I personally don't use Windows Mail. But I had a glimpse of it, and from what I've seen, it appears to be accessible, just like Outlook Express. You might want to check out, again, Rick Carmen's tutorial about Windows, I know that someone produced a tutorial or guide about Windows Mail, but I don't know who that person was. You might want to check it out. That's what I would like to recommend. Personally, I don't use Windows Mail, but what I've experimented with as a first glimpse, it seems that it is accessible just like Outlook Express.
Scott Erickson says version 7.03 of it is fine if you use the scripts. Use the demo on www.tandit-consultancy.com. And J.R. Westmoreland says thanks, Scott, for the information. And J.R. Westmoreland says, Joseph, are you using Office 2007 with your Vista?
Yes, I'm using Office 2007 Enterprise, actually, with Vista and JAWS 8. And I found that it is pretty much accessible. Freedom Scientific has done an excellent job of creating script support to allow us to access a ribbon now. WindowOS has been a bit ahead of it. But as far as my testing goes, it works well under Vista.
This is Brandon, Michigan. Does Windows Vista contain a Messenger client, like XP? You know, when you first get XP, it has Windows Messenger. Does Windows Vista automatically have Windows Live Messenger in it, or do you have to download it?
No, it's not built. Windows Live slash MSN is not built in. But there is a link on the Programs menu where you can go Windows Live download link, and then it'll take you, I believe, from my theory is that if you press enter on this Windows Live download link, it'll take you to a website where you can download the actual program. So from what I can gather, MSN slash Windows Live is not there in shipping versions of Vista, but you can download it from Microsoft website.
Well, we'll take time for, say, just two more questions, if you have any, and then we'll bring the meeting officially to a close, and you're of course free to stay around afterwards if you want to chat among yourselves and ask anything about Vista, if, as long as Joseph can be here. But for now, for the official actual recording, we will take two more questions. Well, hearing none, let me say again, Joseph, you have done a magnificent job this evening. We truly are amazed, and we just recognize the tremendous amount of information you have amassed on this very difficult system that we've been hearing about. And I think you've proven to us that it is certainly going to be possible for us as blind computer users to actually use Vista. But I do think it's going to take some of us quite a bit of study, and we're going to have to be diligent, and you certainly have paved the way for us. And I think that as we read your tutorials and actually begin using the operating system ourselves, we're going to be very, very grateful to you for this heads up that you've given us. You've, I think, encouraged us to tackle it and not be inundated by something new, but accept the challenge and move on. And on the part of the Accessible World Planning team and all of the audience here, we express our sincere thanks to you, and we welcome you back again as this product expands and grows and knowledge expands and grows, and we'll be anxious to hear more about your ability to conquer Vista from the keyboard.